It's time for the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, 100.3 FM, WROLradio.com. You can ask Alexa or Google or anybody to play WROL radio. And then you can find me, and after me, of course, all the Irish music that comes on right after that. So you can have a whole day of WROL listening, which is always kind of a fun thing to do. Yes, I'm not in the studio again, and fingers crossed, everything's working the way it's supposed to. We went on the air like we were supposed to. No alarms going off. Dennis, no alarms going off, right?
No, we seem to be good first time in 2 weeks.
I know. And so that's good to see. So that's all good stuff. So we're gonna continue on. And our buddy Matt is probably who's the operations manager at the station is probably saying, about time. So everything's working the way it's supposed to. So no Comcast issues, no Verizon issues, no anything so far. So all good things. Phone lines are completely open for the next 90 minutes. If you want to join us and talk about your car problems, whatever it is, the phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to me about your car and your car problems. So whatever you have on your mind, you can chat with us about that. I have a bunch of car reviews, which I haven't done in quite a while. Also, and I don't know, this is one of these things that I should have read it before I'm going to read it, but I kind of like the excitement of not doing that. Well, if you've followed a little bit of what's going on with the former CEO of Nissan, he escaped from Japanese authorities because of everything that's going on with him and Nissan, and apparently he reportedly hid inside some audio equipment, the cases that audio equipment come in to elude airport security, and that has inspired a viral social media craze in Japan that prompted a warning about the potential for suffocation. People have been posting photos of themselves and their children stuffed inside instrument cases, a trend that has become known as playing Gosen. The instrument maker Yamaha Corporation urged its Twitter followers not to participate. We won't mention the reason, but there have been many tweets about climbing inside large musical cases. Yamaha posted in Japanese a warning after any unfortunate accident would be too late. So we ask everyone not to try it. The Wall Street Journal obtained a photo of what it said was a case in which Gosen was sneaked into a private jet at Osaka Airport. People who helped the former Nissan Motor CEO discovered that the airport could not X-ray oversized luggage pieces and did not regularly open them on the assumption that there were most private jet travelers were on low risk, the newspaper reported. This is a made-for-TV movie. So here's a billionaire auto company executive, was at Renault, went over when Nissan, when Renault bought Nissan, the whole thing got kind of crazy, but I'm not sure exactly everything that happened, but apparently he had some kind of party at his house that happened fairly regularly where a band showed up, so he's on some kind of, home release program, and a band showed up, and they put him into a private jet, or put him into this piece of band equipment, got it out past the security. The people that were musicians were actually military working for him, got him on this, got him into this vehicle. The vehicle went from one jet to another. He actually got out of a car or got out of the jet, got into a car, drove about 1,000 yards, I guess, got into another jet and ended up wherever he ended up, where now he may not, you know, we were just thinking he had some kind of ability to stay wherever he is, but due to some other rules, he might not be able to stay there. So, but it's a whole made-for-TV movie. It definitely is, and we'll have to wait and see what ends up happening with that. But I thought it was kind of a crazy story, and the idea that now people are putting, and it shows in the article here, it shows a picture of a baby inside a guitar case, and it said, even if a former auto exec might have done it, Yamaha says you should not put your child or yourself inside an instrument case. Hopefully people don't do that.
See,
and then also in the...
sorry.
This is from the back page of Automotive News, where they tend to be a little bit more lighthearted. It says Volkswagen USA tweeted a pitch for its Tiguan crossover last week to Prince Harry and wife Meghan Markle, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, after they revealed plans to quit their roles as senior royals and live part-time in Canada. The tweet was, hashtag VW Tiguan, the perfect car for a small British-American family. And the headline of the story says, a rogue might be more appropriate.
Oh,
now, Dennis drives a rogue.
Yes, I do.
And under it, it says, fit for a prince, or a prince that doesn't want to be a prince anymore.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, exactly. And we talked about this before, that the Ford Mustang Bullitt, the one that Steve McQueen drove in the movie Bullitt, sold for $3.4 million, but the buyer's identity remained a mystery. The sale at the Mecham auction in Florida was a record for Mustang, beating the $2.2 million paid for a 67 Shelby GT500 Super Snake. The total for the Bullitt Mustang came to $3.74 million, including fees and commissions. So the idea that there was, it sold for $3.4 million, and with fees and commissions, it went up another $3.74 million. So it went up another $350,000 almost for commission. That's a lot of commission. Sean Kernan, whose father bought the Highland Green Mustang GT390 Fastback in 1974 for $3,500, described the bidding as an 11-minute rock concert. In an interview with the Detroit Free Press, the opening price was set at $3,500 in honor of Bob Kernan, who died in 2014, and once refused a request from McQueen himself to buy the car. When the auctioneer asked, who will give me $3,500, everybody in the room raised their hand. Everybody had a chance to bid on the car. So Kernan's son told the Free Press, that's what I will remember. So, yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's no secret that, I guess, might be a secret, but that I'm actually not in the studio, and I took a quick trip to Florida, and coming home soon, and I'll be live in the studio as normal. I'll be live at work, all those kind of things. I went to a place called the Muscle Car Museum. It's in Port Charlotte, Florida, and it is in an old department store, maybe an old strip mall or something, where they have their own little cafe. They have this museum. They also have half a dozen cars for sale, little memorabilia sort of store that's there, and there's a couple odd other stores that are in the same plaza. Kind of a little bit of a, it looks like a plaza that didn't do too well at some point, and somebody came in and painted it kind of a checkered flag color on the top and bright colors on the bottom. But inside that museum is going to be the largest array of GM muscle cars that I have ever seen in one collection. And apparently they're all owned by one person. And what's kind of interesting is some of them are pretty rare. Some of them are pretty well, really well restored. Some are not as quite as good as others, but almost every one of them are standard shift transmissions, which makes them really unique. There is just about every Corvette from the very first with the six-cylinder and the automatic transmission that was the very first Corvette with the Blue Flame six-cylinder engine in it, to some very kind of rare and special Corvettes. There was just about every year of interest, Chevelle, a lot of pickup trucks, including two Cameo pickups. The Cameo pickup was the GM pickup truck that had a fiberglass rear bed, and it was probably the very first of the, not quite a car, not quite a truck, before the El Camino. They had a bunch of El Caminos, including one that was a late 60s, I think, probably a 69, and in fitting with the 69, what was happening in 1969, it was had a vinyl roof, which is, you look at it today and go, boy, that wasn't pretty, but that was kind of common. Cars, a lot of cars, a lot of the Chevelles actually had vinyl roofs, and some of them looked really good, and some of them maybe not so much. But yeah, a lot of big blocks, some resto mods, so some cars that had bigger added on engines, so there was, you know, something that maybe had a 350 in it that now had a 504 cubic inch 600 horsepower engine in it. But if you're ever down in the west coast of Florida, I think it was $12 to get in, something like that. And if, especially if you're a fan of GM vehicles, you should take a look inside this place. It's a pretty interesting place, and it is, you know, you can spend all the time in there. And if you want to buy a car, they, like I said, they had a couple for sale. But one of the ones that was for sale was the movie car from the movie Christine. So if you've always wanted to have a haunted Plymouth, I guess you could buy it. And it didn't have a price on it. They did have a really kind of a nice little 66 Mustang convertible that was all restored. And I think it was only like $23,000, which, if it really was as restored as it said it was, it's a pretty good value. It was a little bit of an odd color. It was sort of pinkish, which was actually one of the factory colors. So, but it wasn't pink. It was sort of, I don't know, saffron or something. I don't know what color it was. But it was pretty nicely put together. It was convertible, a little six-cylinder, just a pretty plain little car. But if you wanted just a nice little car to go out on Sunday afternoon rides and go to car shows and things like that, it would get you into a car show pretty simply without spending $3.4 million for the Steve McQueen car, again, which came out to $3.74 million. That's a lot of fees. The Elon Musk and the Cybertruck, there was a presentation where the windows were broken in it, where there was, I guess, this kind of ad-lib sort of thing. And it says, as the saying goes, kind of, when life hands you shattered windows, make T-shirts. Tesla has memorialized one of the most memorable ad-lib vehicle unveilings in automotive history with the Cybertruck Bulletproof T. The shirt depicts one of the supposedly bulletproof windows that Tesla design chief broke with a steel ball on stage at the November reveal. The back features an outline of the pickup truck's bizarre triangular shape. At $45, the shirt costs 99.9% less than the actual truck. The T-shirt is bulletproof and makes you buff, according to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, posted on Twitter last week. With a link to the shirt at the Tesla's online store, Musk also changed the display name on his Twitter account to BuffMadge for reasons we didn't bother to look into, according to the article. Good idea. Good thought on that. And finally, Kentucky state troopers arrest two General Motors employees in Bowling Green, Kentucky, after police caught them racing a 2020 Chevrolet Corvette. According to arrest citations obtained by Automotive News, police charged Mark Durkatz of Windsor, Ontario, and Alexander Thim of West Bloomfield, Michigan, with speeding 26 miles an hour or over the speed limit, reckless driving, and racing a motor vehicle on public roads. They hit a speed of about 120 miles an hour, reached a top speed of about 100 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. The arrest citation said the responding state trooper observed the speeds from interaction on Middlebridge Road. The citation said about 5 miles from the Bowling Green assembly plant where all Corvettes are assembled. Regular production of the 2020 Corvette is expected to begin in February, so now, We're aware of the incident involving our test vehicles and are currently investigating, GM said in an email statement. Safety remains an overriding priority at General Motors. We have no further comment at this time. An odor of alcoholic beverage was present on the breath of the operator. Citations is a big surprise. Citations for both men. The preliminary breath test detected a presence of alcohol. The citation continued. The party started that they were unfamiliar with each other, and the employees of GM, the men, also told police they had been together at a local bar before the incident. Nothing good ever happens when you have a 2020 Corvette prototype and you went to a local bar with it. Our phone number again, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I think we have a phone call. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
John Paul?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it didn't sound like you for a minute. Good morning, it's Brian from Derry. Thank you for those auto show tickets. That was an awesome show.
Oh, good.
And I got a quick couple of things to mention to you about, I don't know if you ever watched that show on TV, Counting Cars.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, that's how we went to that place. They take you a tour of that, what they do there. I'm not too happy with Danny, with what he does there. They butcher the cars. I like keeping all the old cars original.
Yeah. I was surprised. I wasn't sure if that was a completely made-up TV thing because, I mean, he owns a bar or a nightclub, I guess. His father owns a TV station in Las Vegas. And I wasn't sure it was an actual body shop, but I guess it started off, and the TV thing has made it even popular. So he had to add on to it, I guess. And you're right. He takes these cars, and some of them that really seem like you could kind of leave them original. Apparently, there is a lot of when you see him on the TV show driving down the street and he sees a car by the side of the road and he pulls over and tries to buy it from somebody and he has $50,000 in his pocket, that's pretty much all prearranged before any of that happens.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And the other show is a Grease Monkey out of Dallas, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good
there's
one.
There's another guy who... when he first started that show, and certainly he was successful because he has that friend that owns a Jeep dealership, which didn't hurt either. But when that show first started, that Grease, the whatever it was called, Grease Monkey
Grease
Garage
Monkey,
or whatever
yeah.
it was. And then, after that, there was a spinoff show with a couple of the guys that used to work for him, and they were in another garage somewhere. The first garage he was in, he just rented it from one of those other guys. So he didn't really have much of a business to start off with, but the TV show turned it into a bigger business, and then he bought his own shop. But the first shop he was in, he didn't even own it. That was one of the other guys that he used to buy and sell some cars with. So
oh wow,
yeah. So there was a little bit of something in there that, and then of course he had Aaron there who worked for him, who was a real talent. He was the one who could. Really look at some of that. And then he tried his own show for a little while. That didn't do real well. And I guess that guy Aaron that was in the show also has a business where he either sells restoration parts or something for old Ford pickup trucks or something. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing now I want to call you about, my friend has a 2019... Toyota Avalon, the dashboard on the panel there above the glove box, it looks like it has the measles. What do you advise for that? It's in a garage, but I think that garage had a lot of moisture, but all the windows are up. What could clean that off, and what to look for with that? It's still under warranty, the car.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to clean it. I wouldn't try any real chemicals on it yet. I would try, get some dish detergent.
Okay.
Pour some in a glass, shake it up, and then just use the foam. Just use the sudsy part.
Okay.
So, and then put it on with a sponge, try wiping it off, see if it cleans it up at all. And if it doesn't, then I would go back to Toyota and just say, "Hey, what's going on with the dash cover here. Is there a defect or something? See what they have to say. And then, but, you know, just using some mild dish detergent, not a lot of it. Like I said, just use the foam part. Don't even get it really that wet. And see if that works. And then, if not, just say to them, well, can your reconditioning guys look at it and see if they can try to clean it up? And,
that's
you know,
a good
maybe
idea.
They
yeah,
can.
Reconditioning yeah, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And see if they can clean it up.
Reconditioning guys, yeah. The guys that do the detailing in the shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing is the right rear window, the guy in the shop looked at it, but I don't know. I'm kind of leery about it. It makes a snapping noise when it goes into the channel going up. That's the only window in the vehicle, the right rear window, but the other three windows are fine.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there is an adjustment on every window. There's the window regulator mechanism has almost like pivots in it where you can loosen them up and tighten them and change the angle of the window, and it may be just off just a little bit, or the door is off just a little bit. I'm almost afraid to tell you this, but this is sometimes what happens. What they'll do is they'll actually, depending on where it's catching on the top where it goes in, let's just say for an example, it's catching on the inside part of the channel where it goes up into the inside of the door.
Right.
What they'll actually do is take a piece of cardboard, fold it up a bunch of times, put it in the door, and then slam the door. And that just bends the door frame just a little bit. And that might just be enough. That might be just a 16th of an inch bend on that door frame. I've actually seen sometimes this is usually not always on new cars, but I've seen it on new cars where somebody literally gets their knee up against the inside of the door and then pulls on the door frame a little bit to change the shape of it a little bit, just enough so the window slides up and down. And you're not moving it enough to cause any air seal from where the door closes up against the body of the car. It's just enough to change the seal a little bit. So I would go back to them and just say, even though they looked at it, and say, hey, you know, there's something, it's just not right. All the rest of the windows go up and down just fine. This one sticks a little bit. Can you try to adjust it and see what happens with it? But like I said, you're better off not watching what they do, because it might hurt your feelings.
Go in the waiting room and pick it up.
Yeah,
I'll come back.
Yeah,
and
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right, John. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Thank you for the help. Yeah.
All right. Take
great
care.
Great show as
bye
always.
Bye
take care. Have a nice day.
All right. Take care.
Yeah.
You as well. Thanks. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car problems, whatever's on your mind. We'll try to answer it. You know, I give a lot of advice sometimes on how to buy a used car, what you should do, how you should check it out, bring it someplace before you check it out. Well, I just bought a used car and didn't look at it. I bought it from somebody I know. I probably should have looked at it. It wasn't very expensive, but it's going to be a second car for at home, and he wasn't quite sure what he wanted for it. He gave me a price, and I actually said to him, it's too cheap. And my boss at work said, what do you mean? What do you mean you gave him more than he was asking for? And I said, yeah, he was, I didn't want to take advantage of him. He was actually asking too little for the car, I thought. Now, again, I probably should have done more. You know, I always tell people, if you're going to go buy a used car, here's what you should do. You know, first off, get it into a good repair shop, someplace where you trust. Have them look the car over, look at all the maintenance records, make sure that the car was well maintained. Look under it, look for any kind of structural damage, whether it's rust or previous repair. Make sure everything in the car works. Turn the radio on, turn the air conditioner on, if it has seat heaters, turn the seat heaters on. Make sure all the windows go up and down the way they should. Do kind of go through everything you know about the car so there's no surprises. And it's not unusual that when you go to buy a used car, depending on how used it is, to get it to where you want it, that you might have to put, you know, $300,000-$500,000 into it to make yourself feel confident about the car. I didn't do any of that. I just bought it. And again, it wasn't expensive. and I think it's going to be fine. And there is a few things I know that are wrong with it. So I'm actually asking one of the Votex schools that I work with if they want to take it on as a little project, as a little learning experience, and I'll pay, you know, I'll pay the school rate and whatever it is to get it, get some of the work done. We'll see how well that goes. So we have a couple things going on. So we'll have to wait and see. Insurance Institute for Highway Safety beefs up criteria for its top safety awards. And this is kind of an interesting one because I get more complaints about headlights. Either they're too bright or they're not bright enough. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says that good or acceptable headlights must be standard equipment for vehicles to qualify for the 2020 Top Safety Pick Plus Award as its toughens criteria for the safety awards next year. Good or acceptable rated headlights may be optional for the regular top safety pick, the Institute said. In the past, vehicles would get an award because it had the optional available headlights, but this year we want to see those headlights as standard equipment, Joe Young, Media Relations Associate for IIHS, told Automotive News. This is a good way to encourage automakers to stop equipping vehicles with crummy headlights that don't light the road. Well, our tests at work showed that the majority of cars on the road with the low beams on don't light the road if you're going faster than 45 miles an hour. You're basically out driving your headlights at that point. Decent headlights should be given, and we hope this should be a given, and we hope this change to our criteria will push manufacturers to make them standard across the lineups. David Zuby, IIHS chief research official, said in a statement last week, IIHS, based in Arlington, Virginia, is a nonprofit research organization that analyzes how to make motor vehicles safer. They're also funded by insurance companies, which may or may not be a conflict of some sort. This year, to earn an advanced rating in front crash prevention in both the Top Safety Pick Plus and the Top Safety Pick Awards, vehicles to pedestrian automatic emergency braking must be available. The IIHS started rating pedestrian automatic emergency braking systems in February. Our tests at work also showed that in a lot of cases, these pedestrian detection systems only work under ideal conditions. In a curve in the road, they don't work. In the dark, they don't work. And in rainy weather, they don't work. And those are kind of the places where you want them to work. Vehicle-to-vehicle automotive emergency braking ratings have been considered in awards since 2014. It's less than a year old, but the technology has a lot of potential to reduce pedestrian crashes, which are often often fatal or quite severe. We wanted to get this into the top safety pick criteria as quick as possible. It makes sense. They've agreed to adopt front crash prevention standards and recognize other vehicles as standard equipment. Both the top safety pick and top safety pick plus awards will require good crash worthiness ratings across the board. They also said in 2019, an acceptable rating in the front passenger side small overlap test, which launched officially in 20, was enough for the pick, but now they want it right across the board. It's a relatively new test, and we're giving automakers some time to make those adjustments. A good rating in the passenger side small overlap test requirement completes a phase-in of the test expected in the first, when it was first introduced. So we'll have to wait and see. But headlights are sort of interesting because I hear from people that say these new cars with these brighter headlights are too bright. I can't see where I'm going. But all the rating systems now want to see the new brighter headlights. And it's not that they're brighter. They're different. And because they're different, people tend to stare at them. So, yes, you can go to a place like Auto Toys in Randolph and you can get LED bulbs installed in your car, which are better than the HID conversions because they're cheaper, they're simpler, and they're just replacing a bulb, and they are DOT legal, as opposed to the HID conversions, which are really expensive, and in most cases don't self-level, which is a requirement. Someday we'll have the same type of headlights that are available in Europe, where they have a series of bulbs around each side of the headlight, and they stay on all the time until an oncoming vehicle comes, and then it actually shuts off sections of the light so it doesn't blind the oncoming driver, but still lights up, say, the right-hand side of the road really bright, but the left side of the road or the left middle side of the road, it doesn't light up at all. Audi is using that. I saw an Audi here in the United States, it was a car that was imported just for that reason to test out the headlights, and the headlight system was phenomenal. Tons of light on the road, but when a car would come the other way, it would shut off part of the light. You'd still be able to see the right-hand side of the road, and you'd be able to drive safely. Our phone number again is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we take a break? I can't even talk. Take a break and pay some bills. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. When we come back, maybe a car review or two that we've been kind of negligent on. We'll talk about those. And also, GM is going to revive the Hummer name, but not the brand, in an all-new electric pickup truck. We'll be right back. Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, 100.3 FM, if you're in the Metro Boston area, and of course online, WROL Radio, where you can listen worldwide. And we do have some people worldwide that listen. My podcast, johnofpaul.podbean.com, is just a podcast of the whole show podcast, and I can look and see where people listen, and people do listen around the world, so it's kind of interesting to always see that. And if you are listening somewhere, exotic or not, and you are listening on the podcast, send me an email. Just let me know where you are. Just always interested to know where people are listening from. You know, whether it's Australia or the UK or Ireland or South America. No listeners in Cuba that I know of.
But weren't you really big in Ireland for a long time?
I really was, and actually, I was really big in England for a long time too. But all of a sudden, I wasn't, and I don't know what happened. It's like whoever was basically stealing my program and putting it on some other podcast somewhere must have stopped doing it, because I had as many listeners in or as many people that would download the show. And that's the new system I'm on. I can only see who streams it, not who downloads it, I guess. And in Europe, people download podcasts a lot more than they do around here. Where around here, people tend to stream the podcasts. Where in Europe, I guess they actually download it to their phone or device or whatever it is, and then they listen to it later. Where around here, they tend to download it in real time and listen to it in real time. But yeah, I had twice as many listeners between Ireland and the UK for some reason. The other thing is, I don't know what you call it, a moderator, something like that, on the WROL Irish page, and I was kicked out the other day. I got to talk to the guys about that. Not that I ever did anything. Occasionally I would post something about, hey, just in case you missed the Car Doctor program before, you know, that comes on before the Irish Hit Parade, you know, here it is. But the other day I got a notice from Facebook that said, you're no longer a administrator of the WROL Irish page. So, which I think actually Johnny Costello set up, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But
interesting.
Anyway, I got kicked out. Got to find out why.
Politics. Basically politics.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they said, we don't want you anymore. Dennis, you saw something, and you posted it on your Facebook page about and it's no secret. People who have listened to this program for a long time know there's one thing you almost want more in life, and that is a
flying car.
And you saw something that is almost a flying car.
Almost. It's more.
What was it?
It was a hover bike. It was a motorcycle with four wheels that were very close in line, not like a quad bike that you normally see.
Yep.
That transforms into a hover bike with little jet engines. It looks really cool.
And I looked at the video real quick. I guess it hovers for like, what, 12 minutes or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So if you were and this is James Bond all over the place. If you were like riding this thing like crazy, and then all of a sudden there was a river in the way, you'd fire the jet engines up, hover over the river, and then, or
traffic,
or traffic
in Boston, L.A. Yeah. Come on,
Or I just thought of when Michael Keaton in Back to the Future.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Michael somebody. In Back to the Future, it didn't realize that hoverboards couldn't hover over water.
Yeah, this one I think could.
Yeah, I think it could. I think it could too, because, but it did look it didn't look CGI. It looked like that may have been a working prototype.
I want one. I'll be dead in a second, but I want one.
You want one? Yeah.
So one second will be awesome.
Did you tell your wife about it?
I'm sure she'll see it eventually. Whenever I post, she gets an alert.
That's one of those things. The other almost flying car, besides the one that doesn't seem to be being made up in Woburn.
Yeah, no,
Perfusia.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that. Their latest CGI prototype looks pretty good because it actually uses, it doesn't look like a plane. The wings come off that make into a car, and actually the engines fold out of it, which makes it look good. But there is kind of a motorcycle looking thing that's kind of a helicopter.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
That one looks pretty good, and that's, you can buy that today if you want.
Yeah. Didn't we have we didn't have a guest that talked about that, did we?
Well, we had a guest once that had a sort of an ATV that turned into a flying thing. Like, you know those, you see them every once in a while, it looks like a big kite with an engine on the back of it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's so it sort of turned into a rotocopter flying kite thing, and they had it for, they designed it originally for military purposes, so sort of a way to get, you know, into the, in and out of a battlefield, I guess, kind of in a small group. But yeah, that was, they didn't give those away either. That was, I think that was $100,000 or something,
Something
too.
Like
so,
that.
Yeah. So it, if you have a whole bunch of money, you can buy a whole bunch of fun toys. So you can buy things, motorcycles that fly and cars that fly and now kind of a motorcycle that hovers. So
yeah, that,
well, the
that,
automaker GM said the automaker will build an all electric pickup dubbed the Hummer, to be sold within the GMC brand in early 2022, so just a couple years away, according to a person familiar with the GM product plan. The story was first reported in the Wall Street Journal. NBA, this is kind of the funny part. NBA superstar LeBron James will promote the Hummer's return. So before they even have a vehicle, they already have a spokesperson. GM said the commercial will air during the Super Bowl. We'll have to wait and see. As the Detroit Free Press reported in October, GM planned to build a new group of premium electric vehicles and electric pickups, such as SUVs in its Detroit plant. GM just agreed to put billions of dollars into that plant. GM phased out the Hummer name in 2010 after GM emerged from bankruptcy and needed to shed some brands. Though Hummer was popular, it was controversial because of its gas-guzzling lineup of SUVs. The new Hummer model will probably be rugged Jeep-like pickup for off-road enthusiasts, the person familiar with the new program. It'll be a low-volume vehicle, the first of many large all-electric SUVs and pickups, which will roll out in the upcoming years. A person familiar with GM's plan said there are no plans to make Hummer a standalone brand. Yeah, I can't see that. As the once thirsty Hummer became electric, it could draw a new kind of audience. Most people, the most popular vehicle in every state, I don't know if I'll ever get there, but there could be a huge cohort of people that will grow up associating GMC with environmentally friendly vehicles, according to an analyst at Car Gurus. So, well, yeah, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see whether that happens. But if the Cybertruck is going to be a vehicle that is as popular as they hope it's going to be, you know, for GM to come up with this, probably makes a certain amount of sense. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see if it really works out the way they say it's going to. So we'll have to wait and see if it's as successful as they hope it will be. It will be kind of interesting to see what's going on with it, and we'll have to find out. Well, our friend Julie Blakely from IC Cars has a new little article out, and it's America's Most Popular Car Colors. Hasn't really changed a lot. White is still the most popular color by just a little bit, 23.9% share of popular car colors, followed by black at 23.2%. Gray and silver are at 15.5% and 14.5%, which is kind of interesting because I think at one point silver and gray were right up at the top. White was always at the top for a long time because a lot of company cars, a lot of companies that purchase cars, especially if they were going to be lettered, ended up with buying white cars so they could letter them. So that kind of boosted the numbers up. And some companies that actually did have employee-driven company-owned vehicles had white because they just thought it didn't look flashy and looked good. If you want the least popular vehicle on the road, color-wise, you have to buy a purple car or a yellow car. They are less than 0.2% of the vehicles. So the study also includes what's most popular in metro areas and what's the most popular color by state. So if you want to know what your car was, which one was more popular because for whatever reason. So you could look at all kinds of reasons why different things do, you know, why people like different kinds of vehicles and different kinds of things. It's all kind of the same way. So you can check it all out. You can go to iccars.com and find out where it is and where you won't find the Car Doctor question and answer column on the IC Cars page because they didn't do anything with it. So that's not there, but you can find the column in the usual locations and occasionally in our own AAA publication where we put it in there. I promised I would talk about a car review, and that is the all-new Cadillac XT6. It was kind of funny. The XT5, I was sitting somewhere the other day, and there was three Cadillac XT5s in a row, all parked in parking spaces, just one right after another. And as I recall, one was white, one was black, and one was a color I couldn't recognize for whatever reason it was. But it's kind of how I didn't know those cars were that popular, but apparently they are. The Cadillac XT6 is the only three-row luxury crossover powered by a 310-horsepower V6 engine. Smaller than the Escalade, but larger than the XT6. This version comes in only two trim levels, the Sport and the Premium Luxury. The Sport trim comes in all-wheel drive only, has quick steering and a dual-clutch transmission for a sportier feel. Our road test was in the Premium Luxury with optional all-wheel drive. Performance from the V6 engine is quite good. When cruising, it will switch to V4 mode to save fuel. Good acceleration from both a stop and during mid-range passing, such as merging onto the highway or passing a slower-moving vehicle, proves the V6 engine is more than up to the task. The 9-speed transmission shifts smoothly and crisply. The ride is quite smooth and well-behaved, soaking up all but the worst pavement brakes, bumps, and potholes. Going back to the transmission a little bit, GM had an 8-speed transmission that they used in a lot of their vehicles. The 8-speed transmission was somewhat problematic. People had a shutter, judder, chuggle problem is the best way to describe it. GM is no stranger to transmission chuggle. Back in even the 80s, the torque converter would start to go bad, and it would lock and unlock and cause a vibration in the vehicle. And the vibration would get really bad at some points, to the point it was almost like driving over a set of railroad tracks. In the 8-speed transmission in a lot of the GM cars, in a lot of the GM trucks, rather, there was a vibration. And GM at first said it was normal. And then they said, we do a triple transmission fluid change. So they drain out all the transmission fluid, run it a little bit, drain it out again, run it a little bit, drain it out again, run it a little bit, and then say, well, that should take care of it because it was an additive breakdown issue which caused the torque converter to act up. And then eventually they end up replacing the torque converter, which one of my readers ended up doing, and that sort of solved the problem. Although inherently, I think there's an additional issue where the 8-speed transmission finds a certain gear to be in, and then when it goes from, in the case of an 8-cylinder engine, it goes from 8 to 4 cylinders to save fuel, it actually causes the engine to lug a little bit, which causes a little bit of a vibration that some people are more bothered by than others. The vibration is, I remember I was, this was a couple of years ago when I was with Buddy Junior D'Amato. We were in a truck and he's like, feel this? He said, that's, he said, and I said, yeah. He said, you know, they should be able to fix that. Well, GM did fix it by going to a 10-speed transmission, which they built in conjunction with Ford. And I drove, recently I drove a GMC pickup truck with the 10-speed transmission, took away any of those weird vibrations that were in there. Now, again, the torque converter, I think, was part of the issue on the other ones because that seemed to fix it, but the 10-speed transmission seems to smooth it out. So this Cadillac uses a 9-speed transmission, which does a pretty good job of smoothing it all out. Back to handling. Handling's good, especially for an SUV. Body roll is controlled, and even when driven aggressively, there's no surprises. The steering is firm on open road with a precise feel. It was light and easy when parking. Fuel economy is quite good for a luxury SUV. I average about 22.5 miles per gallon, according to the onboard computer system. I used to go more by the old-fashioned method. I would drive the vehicle enough to kind of run it low on gas, refill it, do the math. Although you can't necessarily get a good, accurate feel because I used to fill the gas tank up and do the math the way I used to do it when I was doing a mileage check before there was these onboard computer systems, which was allow the gas tank, find a level place to fill up, so don't park on a gas island with an angle on it. So fill it up with the gas tank relatively flat, and fill it up if it has a automatic gas lock nozzle, set it on the lowest setting, and let it fill up till it clicks once. And that way you're getting the same repeatable sort of thing. So if you do that twice, you get a pretty good idea. These onboard computer systems, I think, tend to be a little bit optimistic, depending on whose they are. I think some are pretty accurate. Our Volkswagen that we own, if I drive it very reasonably out on the highway with the top up, the air conditioning off, no accessories on, according to the onboard computer thing, I can average for about, if I'm driving at 50 or 100 miles, I can average 40 miles per gallon. Now, considering how much Volkswagen's lied about different things over the years, that might be a little bit optimistic, and I'll just go with the idea that I can be a good driver and get good gas mileage. Back to the XT6, it has seating for 6 or 7, depending on the middle row configuration. Front seats are comfortable and supportive. Drivers of just about any size should be comfortable with a combination of the tilt and telescoping steering wheel, multi-adjustable seating. The second row captain chairs were also comfortable, but the third row is typical of vehicles this size, you know, better suited to kids. Technology was well represented in our test model with just about every feature. There was advanced cruise control, forward collision warning, lane departure warning, and even an optional night vision camera that could detect pedestrians and animals well outside of my vision. It actually worked pretty well. So it worked in a head-up display, and it could see, you know, if it was a pedestrian way down the road and they were wearing all black and they didn't stand out, it would actually, there was enough light magnification where it would actually see them, and it would alert you that there was a pedestrian either at the edge of the road or even at the edge of the sidewalk. So it did actually work pretty well. The cabin has a large glove compartment, center console, decent cup holders, and enough 12-volt USB power points to power most of the electronics we all tend to carry. Now a lot of these cars, like this one, has wireless charging. I don't own a phone that's new enough to have wireless charging. Dennis, does your phone have wireless charging?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Do you use it?
Yes, I do. Every day at work.
So you just set it on a little pad and it charges up?
Yeah, it's a little, looks like a something. It looks like a coaster. I just throw it on there and charge that up.
Yeah.
It actually charges pretty fast too. Like I thought it would take because of the transfer of the way it's not transferring directly. I thought it would take longer. It actually charges pretty quick.
Mm. I mean, that's the goal for electric vehicles, that you won't even have to plug them in. You just kind of pull up on top of something and it will charge it up. So, but a lot of the new cars have electric charging built in. It's just a little space, you know, where kind of the ashtray used to be at one point, and you just lay your phone in there and press a button and it charges it up. That way, if you're using your phone for navigation, which tends to chew up the battery, or you're using your phone to stream music, and you're using Apple CarPlay or Android Auto or one of those kind of things, having a charge in, use that as the source, then you're not killing your battery or have an extra wire plugged in, which is kind of nice. The XT6 by Cadillac is a comfortable and certainly competent vehicle, but this very competitive segment of the market, just being good may not be good enough. Well, this may be one of the best Cadillac SUVs on the market. It might not be the best luxury SUV on the market. Base price starts at $54,695. Fuel economy, 17 city, 24 highway. It hasn't been crash tested yet. So, they will at some point and crash test it. So that's the 2020 Cadillac XT6. Our phone number, again, lines are open, by the way, if you want to join us. If you want to hear me stop talking and you want somebody else to start talking, the phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to me about your car and your car problems. In the good news story, a Honda dealership manager covered a $17,000 vet bill. The general manager of a Honda dealership outside New York City helped save a customer's dog after it was hit by a truck in front of the store, then offered to cover the $17,000 vet bill when they learned the family couldn't afford it. Cindy Robeldo was dropping her car off at Honda of New Rochelle for service when her dog, a three-year-old Shih Tzu named Charlie, jumped out the driver's door and into traffic. This was reported by WNBC-TV. And after witnessing the accident, general manager James Gallagher ran out to help Charlie out of the busy street, drove them to a nearby animal hospital. Dog had emergency surgery for spinal and neurological damage. When I was talking with her, she said she didn't have the finances, unfortunately, to pay for it. Gallagher told WNBC, "I told her, you're not going to lose your dog because of money." Gallagher told her that he would ensure that $17,000 bill gets paid, saying he had been through tough times himself and it was time for me to pay it forward. The store set up a GoFundMe page last week to help raise the money. Their dog is alive because of him. So, kind of a good news story. Our phone number again, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk about your car and your car problems. And Dennis tells me we have a couple of calls, so why don't we take them? Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Paul and Braintree. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hello. Good. I'm doing well. Thank you. Nice story on the dog. Nice to hear a good story.
Yeah, everyone's on. Yeah.
And thank you for the auto show tickets. I couldn't go, but I did pass them along to some friends, and they enjoyed it. So I'm sorry I couldn't make it, but life.
Well, you know, and the auto show is one of those things that it's funny. As I was talking to the guy who runs the show and said, you know, it seems to be smaller, and he said, you know, you have to think about it. He says, you know, there's no Saturn, there's no Pontiac, there's no Oldsmobile, and that probably would account for, you know, 30 or 40 cars in the show, and then the Germans, Mercedes and BMW, haven't been to shows in a while, and that would probably account for another 30 or 40 cars. So by the time you're done, the show ends up being a little bit smaller, but it's still, I still like going. I still like looking at what's new, and it makes it kind of fun.
Sorry, I missed it. And I'm so old. I remember when it was at the Heinz Auditorium, and I think they had the Pontiac was on the stage. They always got that prime location. So first thing you saw when you walked in was Pontiac at eye level, probably.
Yeah,
And there were tons of cars. And cars. And I guess before that, General Motors had the Autorama.
Yeah, I've talked to people who went to the Autorama or whatever, and you know, kind of made it sort of interesting. But yeah, that was one of those. You know, there was a lot of.
Actually, I did go. My dad used to take us when I was maybe 10, and it was at the old armory on Commonwealth Avenue. I think BU's Agana Center is there now, and it was nothing but General Motors automobiles. As a matter of fact, I still have a key fob. From it, which probably maybe worth more than my car, you know. But it was just General Motors cars. I did see they did have what's supposed to be one of Elvis Presley's Cadillacs. It was a 1956 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, and all I remember is that the seats were beaded in allegedly real pearls. You know, where the beating would be around the edge of the,
So that wasn't wasn't his normal giveaway cars that you know he would just.
Maybe it was in blue suede. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. I don't remember. That's all I remember. It's what I remember that anyway. So, but again, thank you and my friends, thank you for the tickets as well.
Sure.
Am I getting older and older, Mazda? I've noticed something when I first started up in the morning. And it's a transmission hesitation just between first and second. And, you know, it goes after that. It's only when the car is cold that happens. And I don't know whether it's directly a transmission situation I should investigate. But, again, it only occurs when I just start the car.
It could be the beginning of a transmission problem, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Transmissions will tend to act up mostly when you start to shift into reverse. That's when you put the most stress on a transmission. So they can tend to act up. They can tend to act up there first. This transmission, as it gets a little bit older, will tend to. I don't want to say. Be problematic, but it'll tend to almost show a little bit of wear, and nothing tends to really affect its overall life from what I can tell. I remember talking to some people a while back that had lots and lots and lots of miles on their car, and they were sort of saying the same thing. They were saying, well, there is a little bit of a issue when it first acts up. Has the transmission fluid ever been changed?
No, not by me. No.
No?
No, I'm the only owner, so no, I haven't.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I
would start with a transmission fluid change just to see, you know, and just to see if there's something starting to act up a little bit and see, you know, what happens. The transmission filter... can be a little bit of a problem. You know, most of the common issues tend to be the transmission shifts a little bit hard, and usually what happens is the fix for that tends to be as simple as changing the transmission fluid. So I would try that, and you know, start there and see what happens. So you know, have the fluid change.
Is there any way, if I look at the fluid, is there open the engine? Can you tell by looking at the color of the transmission fluid?
If it's discolored, if it's sort of brownish red, it should be sort of a pinky red color. And if it's sort of brownish and it smells like turpentine, well, it's really worn out. But at you know how old is your car now?
It's 11 years old, and I have 85,000 miles on.
Hmm. Yeah. So,
kind of
a. Yeah. I mean, not a lot of miles for the age, certainly. I think I would. You know, I think I would start with as simple as let's change the transmission fluid, and see what happens from there. It's been pretty common that you know a fluid change in that kind of remedies a lot of issues. So. I would start with that.
I'll tell you, I mean, I've for a car, I'm probably the longest I've kept a car,
And it's really been trouble-free. I mean, I can't have many complaints about Mazda. I mean, we had some computer problems when I first got the car.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, it's been really trouble-free. So I'm, you know, it looks great.
You know,
and it gets me where I want to go. The insurance is cheap. The excise tax is getting cheaper. So a lot of good reasons to hold on to it.
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to believe we've known each other over the air here for 11 years.
I know, exactly. Someday, okay, got to go for a cup of coffee somewhere and say hello. I almost made it to the auto stop when you were at Christmas at the auto.
Auto Toys there. Yeah.
And auto, right. Well, it's been a long time, and thank you. I mean, it's great service that you offer, and I will take advantage of it and checking out the my transmission fluid, either at a local service station or
either way, you know, have them check the fluid, see what it looks like. You know, where you've treated the car reasonably, you know, so you haven't been abusive to the car at all. You know, at this point, what I would do is just change the fluid, and you know, sometimes I'm a little hesitant at changing 11-year-old fluid, but in this case, I think it would be money well spent.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right, take care.
Yeah.
Okay, take care, Paul.
All right. Thanks.
Why don't we take a quick break before we get to our calls? I think that's what Dennis has in mind. Is that what you had in mind, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do that. You're in charge, after all. You're listening to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. If you're on hold, stay right there. Remember, it doesn't cost money to stay on hold. We'll be right back.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. One little story here. A stone-wielding 3-year-old trail of destruction through an Audi dealership resulted in a $10,000 bill for the child's parents. The girl left scratches up to 4 inches long on 10 new vehicles, including a Q3 and a Q8, according to reports. The dealership initially demanded $28,000 compensation from parents, claiming the Audis could no longer be sold as new and would have to be discounted. The court ultimately settled the dispute, dismissing the parents' arguments. The child was still young and not sensible. The judge said the payment would persuade them to manage their daughter and teach her how to take care of people's belongings. I don't know that a judge in the United States would say that. That happened in China. Our phone number again, 617-770-3030. Let's go to one of our listeners. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
It's my boss.
Hello. Hey. How are
you?
Hello.
I'm doing fine. You still there?
I am. It sounds like you're on. Sounds like the radio's on in the background, and you're on a not-so-great cell phone.
Computer. I get Enterprise ads, Geico ads, so I miss my show.
Oh, good for you. Anybody trying to get you to sell your blood to listen to the station? We get that sometimes, too.
Oh, no. I know they do buy blood. But I've been trying to get a hold of you, and, you know, you have a great show, and I have a problem with a 07 Dodge Caravan. After putting gas in it, it hesitates and stumbles. And I didn't know what that, probably some kind of emission valve or something like that.
Yeah, it's more than likely there's a check valve for the evaporative emission system. So every car has every car today has a closed up fuel tank. So in other words, you know, back in the old days, when you shut a car off on a hot summer day, you could literally see the vapors of the gas tank, you know, evaporating into the air. You'd see it look like a haze around the car. Today,
right.
Today it's all sealed up. So it still has vapors, but the vapors end up getting reused and burned back into the car. Well, what happens is there's a check valve that controls
when that vapors get sucked back into the engine. And sometimes what happens is that check valve will get stuck open, and it will actually force excessive amount of fuel vapor and sometimes even liquid fuel back into the intake manifold, where the car will be either hesitate or will be really hard to start. And this is common. This can happen in GM cars. It can happen in Japanese cars, and it can happen in your minivan. So you need to go and have a repair shop look at the evaporative emission system check valve and take a look at it and see what's going on and where things are happening. But I think you'll find it, and in most cases it's either mounted to the firewall of the car just before it goes into the intake manifold, or it could be mounted under the car. I'm not really sure, but the check valve is usually the cause of it. And sometimes it can also cause, when it's the other way, it can sometimes cause a really slow filling of the gas tank, so it's hard to fill the gas tank. But in this case, I think you just need to have somebody take a look at it and see what it is. But it's not usually a terribly expensive fix to take care of it. So you should be able to get it squared away without.
Okay, I'm just wondering how it relates to another problem. I called you quite a while ago regarding a delay in starting up. So the fuel pump was leaking. The check valve must be no good, because that's what it comes out to. So I have to turn it on, wait till it builds up pressure, and then it starts right away. If I don't do that, it just cranks and cranks and then finally starts. So it seems like it's the check valve in the fuel pump. Now, I was just wondering if there's anything else in the fuel tank that would have to be replaced when replacing the fuel pump. And also, loaded question, there are so many fuel pumps out there that are unrecognizable. Yes, there's Bosch, Denso, but TCL, the company that makes TVs, or some unknown brands. I've never heard of these things.
Yeah.
Big Brute.
I tend to want to buy, when it comes to something that's a pain in the neck to replace, I tend to want to buy something that's a pretty good name brand. So if it's a Denso or even AirTex, which has been around for a long time, I tend to buy those. When it's a name I've never heard of, I'm fine with putting a name I never heard of a headlight bulb in. Because, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's not that big a deal. But if it's something that I have to go through a lot of work to replace, then I kind of want to put a decent brand in that I know will last a long time and not be a problem. Will I go out and buy the best fuel pump on the market? Buy the one from Chrysler or something. Yeah, I might not do that, but I want to go out and buy one that is a decent brand. So, I'd look at it that way and try to figure out. But yeah, the fuel pump, So
yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's not a nice job. And we just came from Cape Cod to Georgia, and it was kind of iffy. And I said, "Gee, will we make it? If we don't, we're in trouble." So, you're at the mercy of wherever you go, because your vehicle is not going to move. So you have to use AAA to get it there, but it's not a great experience. So, I was just wondering, I see, and I didn't know whether AirTex buys them off somebody else and relabels them, because I thought they were the company that made the vacuum-operated windshield wipers. When they used to have that with the knob on the dashboard,
they might have been, but they've been around for a long time, and they're in my opinion they're a good middle of the road, good middle of the road kind of thing. So I would that wouldn't bother me to see about that. So
it's just like an implant. Why you don't want to use the cheapest pacemaker or the cheapest batteries. Because you get up the person, so it's just inconvenient. I agree. You're always on the money, and you make sense. So that's what I love about you. But I did have problems. Well, I have had some problems getting a hold of the radio, you know, the radio, because it cuts out. And I saw all these ads, Enterprise, Geico, Roy Masters, Honda. And,
yeah, that's, you know, that's like, all, you know, that's all off the stream. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, I've heard that too. And you're going, you're listening on WROLradio.com, or are you on like TuneIn or whatever?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm listening to. I'm in my favorite place in Georgia, and you're a ritual on Saturday morning. So, that's a good thing. It's always a pleasure to hear you, and you really do a great job.
Well, thank you very much. All right. Well, you have a good day. All right. Take care now.
You help make it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye. 617-770-3030. Look, listeners in Georgia, how much better can you get than that? Except listeners right around here. And let's, I think, where are we going? Up to Robert, I think. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, John. Hope everything is well. Yeah, I have a question about, you know, like Mecum and Barrett-Jackson, all these half millions or multi-million dollar cars, they never have any mileage or they don't use them. Don't you think they'd be leaking gasket seals and everything would be flat-spotted as far as engine?
You know, some of those cars are actually, even though they, you know, because the ones that sell for stupid money, you know, those cars have all been disassembled, reassembled, all new gaskets. They might not put new bearings in the engine. They might, though. And even though the car's only got, you know, 10 or 15,000 miles on it, it may have been completely regasketed. So it looks, you know, so it isn't going to have those kind of problems. But yeah, you're right. If it's a car that only has 20 or 30,000 miles on it and it's all original and it's 25 years old, yeah, once you drive that a little bit, you know, the oil's going to find the cracked gaskets and it's going to leak.
Yeah, and everything else is, you know, crank, camshaft, valve springs. You've seen that Bullet, right? The Bullet Mustang supposedly the original. I mean, it's rusted, dented, faded. I wouldn't want it for any money.
you got to be somebody who just, you know, has, you know, more money than they know what to do with, and they want something special. But yeah, I know somebody who bought a relatively low mileage Ford Shelby Mustang Hertz edition. So it was a 1966, I think. Yeah. And it was easily a $200,000 car. But at one point, the engine was taken out, disassembled. This was back in the, let's see, so it was a 66. I think in the 70s, Holman Moody, the race car engine builder, took it out, reassembled it, rebuilt the engine. And then at some point in the last 10 years, the engine was taken apart again, regasketed, put back together, because it actually did, from sitting for so long, it did, right, you know, start to develop some leaks. And, you know, and a car that sits and doesn't get used, an old friend of mine who has since passed away, the guy who owned a repair shop over in Randolph, and his wife still runs it, but this was Walter Wenzel. And Walter used to say to me, lack of use is worse than abuse of a car. And one of his customers was a big real estate guy, owned a ton of real estate, and he had a BMW. And the BMW, he said to Walter, "Try to sell my car for me. I want to get rid of it." And Walter said to him, "Having it sit here for months at a time is not doing this car any good. You need to get out and you need to drive it." And so finally, he said to him, "Well, you know, why don't you just drive it and, you know, put it up for sale, and if somebody's interested." What ended up happening, he liked driving it so much he ended up buying it from the guy, so it all worked out in the end. But the idea that when a car sits for months and months and months at a time, especially the older cars that older cork style gaskets, they just can deteriorate from just sitting. So you're absolutely right. You're going to take a car that has such low mileage, An old school teacher I know, his father-in-law has a Z06 Corvette with 50 miles on it, and it only gets driven every couple of years to have the oil changed in it. And he never wants to put any miles on it. And the tires are ready to explode because they're all dry rotted. And other than if you're gonna, unless you got a house big enough to put it in your living room, there's not a whole lot of sense in having it. You know, why have a car like that and not enjoy it?
Yeah, exactly. They were meant to run. They got to run at, you know, high temperatures. I mean, the fluids.
Yep.
They must turn to milk when they're sitting on. I guess it's more money than brains.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be thoughtful of that kind of stuff, and look at what you want to do with it, so you know it's going to be in good shape. Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I wanted your opinion. I wasn't sure if there was certain people that took precautions. It's expensive.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I mean there are people. There are people that when they put a car away for like that, they will literally drain all the fluids. They'll coat all the interior parts so no corrosion builds up, and I remember hearing a guy say, "We pickle the engines," and I'm like, "What does that mean?" They said, "Well, we do everything and then we put this kind of light oil everywhere so no corrosion builds up, but it doesn't also gum up and cause a problem." So, I mean, the same thing, metal gas tanks, you leave them completely empty. You know, when you store a car for 6 months, you fill the gas tank completely full. When you store it for 6 years, you empty it out completely because you don't want the gas to go bad and turn into garbage. Absolutely. I know somebody who has a Cadillac now that won't run because it's been parked for 6 years just for that reason.
To me, they're like full size die cast models. You know, I've got some of them, but they don't cost millions of dollars.
They don't cost millions of dollars. You're right. Anyways, always a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Have a
all right.
Week.
Take care, Robert. Yep. You bye too. Bye bye. I think we're going to our buddy Rick in Boston. Rick.
Yep, I'm here.
You're here. Good thing. Did Dennis apologize for hanging up on you?
Hey, don't worry about it.
All right.
I've been around long enough. I know stuff happens, and I made mistakes. You mistake, so it's no sense yelling at people because you give them the right to yell at you.
That's right. That's right. We don't let Dennis do it more than once, though. Go ahead. What do you got, Rick?
Hey, don't worry about it. Actually, I've got a request for your listeners today.
Okay.
You know, we've got a presidential election coming up, and it seems like it might be the most contentious one we've had in my lifetime. And I just want people to remember, hey, we all have the right to have different points of view and that. And you may or may not like the bumper sticker in the car ahead of you, but the person's got the right to have it. So just be respectful for the right to disagree.
All right. Easy enough. That's as political as we're going to get.
Yeah, well, I know you. I'm like, wife likes driving.
The car doctor's a politically free zone, so.
Yeah. And just respect other people.
Yep. No, I think we should respect everybody. So I agree with you 100%. Hey, take care, Rick, and be good. Yep, bye-bye.
Yep.
Dennis, are we trying to squeeze in one more call?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, let's go. Let's try to wrap up here. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Yes, John, I have a question. You had a gentleman a little while ago talking about the car show on Commonwealth Avenue.
Yep.
I remember my father taking me there, and it was to look at a car. I think it was called the Tucker.
Oh, the Tucker, sure.
It was an unbelievable car. I remember how, great it looked compared to the others. And he said, something, I think these companies will buy this car up. And it probably did happen,
although the movie is not particularly factual, try to watch the movie Tucker. It's an interesting interpretation of what the car company was. But yeah, it had things like it had built-in jacks, like Formula One cars do. You could jack it up. It had that swivel taillight. It had an air-cooled six-cylinder engine or eight-cylinder engine mounted in the back. The thing overheated. It had a lot of problems. But they're still around, and makes it makes it sort of a it's a good story. And I got to say, and we're almost out of time here, but I got to say, when the Tucker came out, I wasn't around. I was a little too young for the Tucker. But when the Tesla came out, and I kind of looked, and I said, Fisker has an electric car, Tesla has an electric car, and I think we'll look back in history and say both of those car companies have a really had a really good time. They got really famous, and we'll probably think of them as the Tucker of the 21st century. And I think I was about half right with the Fisker. They kind of failed. They sort of failed, yeah. And they're coming back maybe. But the Tucker movie, it was there was a lot of shenanigans that went on, but they looked like they had a good time. They led a really fancy life for a while, trying to come up with a new car company. So yeah, it made it really kind of interesting. So kind of fun. Hey, we got to get going because the Irish Parade's coming
up. Thank you.
All right. So who's in today, Dennis? You running the Irish Parade today?
Can you guess?
It's Paul Sullivan.
Hey, you know what? The movie Tucker?
Yeah.
The cool thing about it was one of the Bridges' kids was Tucker. Was it Bo or whichever one? But his arch enemy, the government suppressor, was his father.
I know. Yeah. I know. It was kind of an interesting movie.
It was great. Hey, I loved it.
Yeah. Hey, you haven't been around for a while.
don't put it in that phraseology. I don't like that. I haven't been around.
Well, it's like you've been on vacation.
No, it's in the hospital.
How are you feeling?
It's a whole. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm
you're
better,
right.
Better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
The old ticker was giving me trouble for a bit. It probably still is, but we're addressing it anyway.
Yeah. My listeners were worried about you. Oh. Your listeners were worried about you.
That's the neatest thing. You know, and there's nothing private about it. I mean, I've gone through a lot of stuff, and I went in to have my carpal tunnel syndrome addressed, and they took a look at my EKG and said, you're staying in the hospital for a while, kiddo. And they diagnosed some heart issues, and so I had to deal with those.
So your carpal tunnel may have saved your life.
Yeah.
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 So,
and I have to say that this is unsolicited and probably shouldn't do this, but the folks at Norwood Hospital, they're angelic and they're artists and they're great. And they took care of me anyway.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, we are glad to hear your voice. I mean, we've been hearing your voice on commercials and we know you've been doing some work at home.
Yep.
So we knew you were okay. And, but everybody was worried about you, including me. And it's nice to hear you back.
You're from 1,500 miles away. That's wonderful stuff. I love that. How's the weather down there?
It's raining like crazy.
Yeah, but I heard that too.
Yeah, but you know, there's always work to do. So mm-hmm. There's always things to do. So
good.
And I'm doing those things and trying to relax a little bit. So it's all good.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you soon then, okay?
You'll see me next week.
If I'm
right
here.
There, right in the studio.
Yeah, if I come back.
I think you will. I think you will.
Well, we'll see.
I have confidence.
All right, good.
If not, I'm going to give you my I'm going to bring my remote equipment over to your house, and we'll just set it up over there.
You sound good today.
Yeah, well.
It's funny because Claire and I, when she drives me in, we play this game, is where's John Paul?
Where's John?
It's like, where's Waldo? And we try to listen to the signal and see if we can figure out whether you're right here at the studio or whether you're in some kind of remote location in some bunker somewhere. We couldn't tell this morning. In fact, we actually thought you were here, so you're sounding good.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, you know, Dennis, Leo, Matt, everybody at the station made it all happen, so I'm happy it all worked.
Well, you know, and it's your talent that shines through, and the callers help out a lot. Well, and your Tucker references, you're absolutely fabulous, you know.
Well, thank you, Paul. And, you know, all I can say is the very best in Irish music.
No, you know what the best part of that movie was?
What?
The theme all the way through it, or they kept singing, Hold That Tiger, Hold That Tiger. Wasn't that the best part?
I don't know if that was the best part, but we can discuss that at another time.
All right, will do. Hey, it's good to talk to you, kiddo.
All right, good to talk to you as well. The very best in Irish music with none other than Paul Sullivan. Paul Sullivan's been here forever, and we want him to be here forever. So when you want to know about Irish music, he is a foremost authority on it, and just a great guy. And the very best in Irish music starts with him right now. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive carefully, be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye bye.
These are the songs you love so well. I know that because it's been my privilege to have played them for you since 1982. Hello everyone, I'm Paul Sullivan, and I welcome you to another